irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal and Zaylor back on the air. And as always, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to us on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, whichever the case may be. We always do appreciate it. Jamal, Zaylor, sing out. Talk to the people.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. Hope your week went well. Hope the new one goes better.
Absolutely. I agree.
So we'll see how it all goes out. Every day seems like it's a different type of situation out there in the world we're living in right now. Now we got earthquakes that are killing people in Haiti again. Amazing. Fires all over the place. It's just, I don't know, things are just getting bad out there, it seems like. But at any rate, and then we got offshore hurricanes coming on board on the East Coast. Man, but anyway, listen, before we get into this, we're going to be talking today about the things that you could do to make yourself safe in certain environments and things of that nature. We're going to be talking about tips for staying safe, and we're going to be talking about some serial killer statistics and how to protect yourself against crime, things of that nature today. Of course, we're always going to be talking about the emails. We'll get through those, and then we'll see how it goes. But before we get into that, I do have a public service announcement, and it's kind of on the safety side. 9/11 is quickly approaching, as you are aware, I'm sure. Well, let me just tell you something that the Department of Homeland Security has put out a warning. They noted that Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula recently released the first English-language edition of its Inspire magazine in 4 years. In 4 years, guys. Now, think about that. 4 years. Trump was in office 4 years. They didn't do it. Apparently, to mark the upcoming anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Now, the anniversary and the approaching holidays could serve as a catalyst, according to the Department of Homeland Security, of acts of targeted violence. So be careful where you are. You know, I've spoken on the air before about active shooter situations. You know, on that particular day, try to avoid large crowds. We never know where these people are going to come from. But remember, they like large crowds. So be on your toes that day. They also noted that domestic extremists motivated by religion and ethnic hatred have in the past attacked houses of worship and other gatherings. So we're always going to be on guard for those kind of things. You know, I'm not sure what day 9/11 is on. I don't know if somebody's got a calendar. You guys can let me know.
It's on the 11th of September.
No, the day of the week. I'm talking about the 11th of September. Jamal, you better be glad we're on the air, man.
Saturday.
Thank you, Zayla. So it's on a Saturday. So people are going to be out and about. So kind of keep that in mind. These domestic extremists are motivated by personal grievances and extremist ideological beliefs. So we want to be careful. So this, as a measure, 9/11, if you got any events planned around that time frame, just please keep this in mind. We'll also do a reminder before then as well. Okay, Jamal, as usual, the audience is begging to know what kind of blast you got working out.
Hey,
this
man,
week,
can I ask you a question, man?
Go ahead, man.
All right, man. I don't want nobody to get, you know, too tickled, man, but why the comment about Trump wasn't in there 4 years and they didn't come out with this manual as if Al-Qaeda or Taliban is scared of a four-time draft dodger?
That's pretty funny to me, Jamal.
I was wondering, like, what did it have to do with anything? Like,
I'll tell you what happened. Well, tell me something. I'll just ask you very simply. Why in 4 years didn't they do it before? Why haven't they done it in 4 years? Who's in office?
Why haven't they done it in the last 20 years? I mean,
hold on a second now. You're asking a question. I'll answer your question.
I'll answer your question. Well, the time is now because Trump did start pulling troops out of there. Am I not? He was
okay.
The
wait,
one
that, wait. We're going to get into Afghanistan. Let's not. I don't want to go there yet. Okay.
No, right. You asking me a question. He did start pulling troops out of there, and that process has continued. So therefore, they're starting to get a stronger hold over there, if I'm not mistaken. So now is probably the time for them to do that.
You finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to talk about Afghanistan in a minute. All right. Okay. And what you're saying is not necessarily what's going on the right way. So we'll talk about that too. Right. Let's get to the first email. Let's get to the blast. What's the blast?
First of all, shout out to Nipsey Hussle, man. I want to say happy birthday to him, man. The inner city, you know, the area I grew up in. So, and also I want to put on blast, man. Dennis Schroeder, formerly of the Los Angeles Lakers, who was offered a contract extension for 4 years and $80+ million, he turned that down because he wanted more money. Well, recently he has signed with the Boston Celtics for a whopping $5.9 million for 1 year. So he turned down the $84 million, and now he signed for $5.9 million. So I just want to go ahead and put him on blast, man.
Yeah, but he may have made that decision based upon some personal reason, something we don't know. And that's only a 1 year deal. How many years was the $80 million?
I told you four. 80 plus. It was like $84 million.
That was $20 million a year. Well, yeah. He must have had some logic, or he's got a bad agent, one of the two.
Hey, man.
I don't know. Okay. Are you done with the blast and the shout outs now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Zeller, I'll ask you. You don't normally have any blast, but I don't know if you've got a shout out. So you got anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the emails. Jim, with all of the crime surge nationally, do you have any tips on safety? I know you have a strong background in this area and would like to hear your thoughts. Jill from Riverside, California. Jill, you actually are the one that gave me the idea for the topic this week. So, yes, we are going to definitely cover that. And I wanted to say thank you on the air for your suggestion. So I'm going to leave that piece right now, go into the other two emails, and then come back to be able to more thoroughly answer your question. Jim, another Biden poor decision. This time is miscalculation on the Taliban and leaving Afghanistan. Now he has helped create a safe haven for terrorist groups that might want to attack us. Lives lost and injured and the cost in the billions, all for nothing. Jake from Tucson, Arizona. Jake, let me just tell you something, okay? Contrary to what my two co-hosts here would think, okay, I have to tell you I'm not in disagreement with the fact that we're leaving Afghanistan. As far as I'm concerned, we've been in Afghanistan longer than we should have been. The original mission of Afghanistan was for us to find Osama bin Laden, which we did 10 years ago. The problem is that we stayed. And supposedly, at the time that we were supposed to get out of Afghanistan, under Trump, as Jamal mentioned, that we had to withdraw out of Afghanistan. I think that decision was right. I think Joe Biden's follow-up decision on it is the correct decision. The problem is how we were supposed to do it. Trump did not lay out a plan for how do we withdraw. He did draw out some troops, all right? This administration, and he wasn't anticipating him not being reelected, so we all know that, because he still hasn't bought into that program, but that's another issue. So when the Biden administration took over, okay, they did follow up on the fact that, yes, let's pull out of Afghanistan. But he gave them the notice on how he was going to do it, when he was going to do it, and they were not properly prepared. 2 months ago, Joe Biden came out and said he wasn't worrying about the Taliban taking over Afghanistan because there was 300,000 troops, okay, from Afghanistan, and the Taliban was only about 75,000 people. Well, that's not the deal, and that's not what happened. And within the 2 weeks that he drew these people out, the Taliban has now taken over Afghanistan, and even the president has left the state. So it could have been a more orderly withdrawal. Our people that were in the embassy there, okay, we had to send troops back in to get them out. It was totally not organized. So that's my issue, was the disorganized part of that. Not necessarily the fact that we should leave Afghanistan. I think we should have left Afghanistan a long time ago, is my feeling. Once the mission was over with Osama bin Laden, we should have gotten out. And the Afghanistan army, they need to take, or they should have taken over to defend their own country. We've been training these people for 20 years. So it's sad, but as far as I'm concerned, we had to get out. Jamal? What do you have to say?
I agree with you. It was time for them to come home a long time ago. How many more U.S. lives and soldiers are we going to sacrifice over there? It was just more than time. And, you know, and then also you add in the financial part of it, although the lives are more valuable.
Of course.
I want to make that perfectly clear. And then also the expenses to go with that. You know, it was just time. Look, it was just a matter of time, no matter what, that they were going to take over. I mean, there's no getting around. They're always going to hate us for whatever reason. There's nothing we can do about that but defend ourselves.
Okay, but let's be clear on one point. The Taliban are not what we have an issue with. What's going to happen is that the Taliban, it's the way that they mistreat their own people. Now, you're going to hear about these atrocities. You're going to hear about these young girls being married off to some of the soldiers. You're going to hear about rapes, assaults, and killings. That's what the people there. The Taliban is not necessarily the ones that per se come after us.
Right.
What happens is that the, like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, they will now have a breeding ground in Afghanistan where they are safe to train and organize. And then from there, those groups are the ones we have to be concerned about,
right,
in all honesty. Now, somebody sent us a message saying that the Afghan government is too weak. It's true. The president has already left the country.
Right.
You know, Zella, you want to weigh in?
No, I mean, I agree that we were there too long. We shouldn't even have been there in the first place. And I mean, nation building doesn't work all the time. And we were trying to, I think, put in place a government that is different than what the people of Afghanistan want. It's their country.
The people of Afghanistan, I don't think.
There's only so much that you can do.
I don't think that the people of Afghanistan want the Taliban. You know how many people are in the capital city? Is it Kabul? The capital city.
Kabul,
yeah. There's 6 million people in that city. How many Taliban do you think it took to take over that city? Now, you got 6 million people there, 6 million. Man, I don't care if you got to give them pitchforks, shovels, knives, guns, whatever.
Right.
Okay, to be able to fight back, knowing what these, I mean, what did it take, 1,000 of the Taliban to come in there and take over? Give me a break.
Right.
You've got to be able to defend yourselves. And I agree, we should have been out, okay? The mission was accomplished, but we stayed for whatever reason. If our government over these last 20 years felt that we needed to be there to help the Afghan government and to probably keep a place or some bases there, et cetera, to help us in that region, maybe. I don't know. But the reality is we've lost a lot of lives there, okay? You know, and you're right, Jamal, and that's why I mentioned about, you know, the lives first and the injured soldiers that have come back first. And then, of course, the money that's involved in that. And these guys are giving up. These soldiers are running. I mean, these are people we've trained for 20 years. If you can't take care of your country, I got to tell you honestly, I'm in awe.
If you can't defend it, do you deserve to have the country?
Well, I mean, those are going to be the arguments. I mean, you know, the stronger nations have always conquered the smaller nations. I mean, that's just the way that it's been.
Right.
You know, throughout time. But, you know, if we were there training these people for 20 years, give me a break.
Right.
Now, in addition to that, you know, let's also talk about the fact that our withdrawal from there was not orderly. We left all kinds of things over there for the Taliban to use. Guns, ammunition, tanks, motorized vehicles. And we didn't leave the airport guarded. You don't leave the airport, okay, unguarded. They had to send in he sent 3,000 troops, and then they said that's not enough. They had to send 5,000 troops over there to get our people out.
Wow.
I'm just saying that it had to be more orderly than that. Once again, in my opinion, Joe Biden underestimated the strength of the enemy. They did the same thing before. He was the only one to vote against going after Osama bin Laden. The only one. Everybody else, even Hillary, okay, at that time said, let's go in. You know, let's get this guy. Joe Biden has not made great decisions on the international front. That's just my opinion, you know, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get some feedback on that one. But I just think it could have been a little bit more orderly. Don't know who's advising him. But for us to have to send troops back over there to hurry up and rush to get our people out, that to me is problematic. It should have been more orderly than that, is all I'm saying. Okay. You know, we're going to see how that's all going to mesh out. But my concern is not there for the Afghan people. If they're willing to let this happen, that's on them as far as I'm concerned. My concern is what's the future impact on us going to be. And I'm telling you, these terrorist groups, they are going to be in those mountains. And they are going to be training people and things of that nature. And what's going to happen, and this is just me, my prediction, What's going to happen is that these groups are going to be striking at us from there. And then what are we going to do? Are we going to bomb, you know, in Afghanistan? Because now you're talking about going to bomb another country, okay? And the Taliban might not be responsible for the acts themselves.
Right.
But they're harboring these people. And then what are we going to do? Get into negotiation with the Taliban, and here we go. We're going to have to go back in all this negotiation while these people are hurting us.
Right.
That's just my prediction. But what do I know? We'll see. Okay, let's go to this third email here, too. Jim, do you think that Gavin Newsom is worried? He is now out campaigning. Biden and Harris are coming out, and Elizabeth Warren has a BS commercial. If this is such a blue state and the Republicans are vastly outnumbered, why the worry? Could it be that it's not just Republicans that want him out? Laugh out loud. Jackson from Stockton, California. Hey, that guy is worried, and it's amazing to me that the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States coming all the way to California on a governor recall. Now, to me, I'm really amazed by that. So they must be really, really worried that he's going to get recalled. Jamal, Larry Elder, I think we've spoken briefly on this, is the number one candidate. Now, I know you've listened to Larry Elder. I know you got some opinions about Larry, so
yeah,
if you want to share those.
Larry. What can I say about Larry, man? I listened to the video that you sent me, man, and once again, I've just ended up being disgusted and not agreeing with Larry Elder, man. So I don't know if he's the number one candidate. Honestly, I'd probably rather stick with Newsom than Larry Elder at this point. I don't even want him there. So, I don't know. I think Newsom is actually going to get reelected just because there's so many people that's running. It's going to spread the vote then, I think.
No, it's what's going to happen. There's only top three. There's only like top three or four of these people, in all honesty. But look, Newsom's only got we've heard some feedback from some of the listeners and people that we know that are talking about the fact that the man only has a year and a half left, and that actually may work to his advantage, from that perspective. But getting him out, okay, if he gets recalled, any thoughts he had maybe on running for president or a senator or things of that nature would definitely hurt him. So that's another reason why. And you know he's Nancy Pelosi's nephew, so who knows?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, that's Nancy Pelosi. He comes from a family of that. Nancy Pelosi, all of them.
Right.
Jerry Brown, all of those people are connected together, man.
I just don't like the fear tactics that they're using. The Trump Republicans want him out when it's more than just that.
Exactly.
I think that's disgusting and feeding into the fear mongering. You know,
well, that's what politics is these days. Yeah. And quite frankly, it's on both sides. You know,
right.
I think both sides use these things, unfortunately, to get these votes. But, you know, Zeller, I know it's not a California thing, but you're back and forth, for business here. Any thoughts on this one way or another?
No. I mean, I think that there's just lots of people that are unhappy in regard to elected officials based on a lot of things, including how COVID went down and whether they were enforcing, masks and all those different types of things. And I think there's just going to be a lot of turnover because people are just unhappy all around.
That's how.
People that want to wear masks. There's people that don't want masks. There's people that want vaccines. There's people that don't want vaccines. We're just going to, turn over the elected officials regardless of whether they did a good job or not.
Well, there's arguments that that's how Biden got elected because he strategically, argued that the last administration did not handle the pandemic the right way. There's people that feel the same thing with Newsom. So we got another person that just typed in and said Newsom needs to go. You know, there's a lot of people that just aren't happy with him. These restaurants, I mean, these people died under his watch,
right.
I mean, so to speak. You know, and I think I told you once before, we have clients that went out of business, their restaurant business,
homeless population is soaring in California.
Yeah, so I don't know. Look, if the man gets reelected, they end up keeping him, okay. But then he's got a year and a half. Let's see what happens with that. Is Larry Elder the best choice? I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
No.
But Newsom to me, is a worse choice. And think about something else. If Larry Elder does get elected, it's for a year and a half. It's not a 4-year term.
I told you my opinion, who I think is going to win it. That was the other thing. In the beginning, when all this was going on, Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
I really think Caitlyn, look, if Arnold Schwarzenegger could be governor.
Her percentages, just to let you know, are around 5%, maybe
4%. Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got the former mayor of San Diego and the other individual, I think a former mayor and the current mayor, they're at 10%. They're right behind Larry Elder. Mm. Caitlyn Jenner is like at 3%, 4%. The numbers are very low.
Okay.
All right? There's like 54 people running, which goes back to what you were saying. Okay, listen, let's move on because I want to talk about some of these other things here also. One of the things we want to talk about is the crime surge. I don't want to get into where the crime surge is happening. I don't care anything about that at this point.
Okay.
But nationally, there is an issue. All you got to do is watch the news, and we know that there's a crime surge out there for whatever reason. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not doing any of that.
Right.
I'm more concerned about making sure that people are safe, which is what right. this show is all about also. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The latest United States Department of Justice crime figures show that personal crimes, which includes rape, sexual assault, robbery, aggravated, and simple assault, are at the highest levels on record right now. Property crimes, which include burglary, car theft, and theft, are on the rise as well. Now, if what we want the listeners to understand with this, a lot of the criminals, they will prey on people who are off guard. I have said in my active shooter classes, as an example, and speeches that I've given on safety and things of that nature, that you always have to pay attention to where you are. Jamal, you know, even when you were little, you know, I told you guys, you always got to know where you are.
Right.
Okay, this business about being off guard. I don't want to make people paranoid. I'm not saying that, but just always be aware of where you are and the environment that you're in. Criminals look for people who are not paying attention to their surroundings, and they use the element of surprise at their advantage. It's just that simple. That's the way that it works. That's how the criminal mind thinks. So you need to always be aware, you know, of where you are and what you're doing. Now, criminals don't want to get caught. Don't you think in their minds they look at the person who's the potential victim, and they're going to look to figure out whether or not that person is going to be a person they can attack? Jamal, if you're walking down the street, you're a big guy, okay, versus a guy that's thin, 5'10", you follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Who do you think they're going to look toward first, okay? The little guy.
Right.
Okay? So they do measure people up. So sometimes it's also a question of how you carry yourself, what you're doing, okay? And we'll get into that, you know, in a little bit. But the criminal mind thinks about, does this person look vulnerable? They assess it up. Think about on the news, with some of the video that they've had on the news over the last few weeks where they've actually showed the person, okay, and he's watching, and he goes after and grabs somebody's purse. He's watching to see who's going to be a good target, okay? Now, regardless of the improved crime rate, crime still affects everyone in all types of neighborhoods, guys. It's not just them. And it crosses all economic and racial lines.
Right.
Jamal, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, going back to what you're saying about me being a big guy, here's the reality of it, man. If somebody robbed me, I'm not chasing them. they'll have an easier time getting away, man, because I'm not chasing nobody down. So, you know, anybody can be robbed.
Anybody can be robbed, and that's true. Have you ever been robbed, out of curiosity?
Yes and no. I mean, I haven't been robbed, like, face-to-face.
Okay.
No.
Zella, what about you? Have you ever been robbed, just out of curiosity?
Like robbed in person or have I
seen? In person. I'm talking about in person.
No. Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. Well, again, some of this is also how you carry yourself. Some of this is you putting yourself in a position for that maybe not to happen.
Right.
Those are all factors that people have to think about.
Right.
The biggest thing that people have to understand is that you've got to take charge of your safety, period. You have to think that way. People are being victimized, are being targeted to be victims each and every day. So to avoid becoming a victim, you got to take charge of your safety, and there's no guarantees to that. So let me just give that disclaimer right now. There's right. no guarantee no matter what we do. But actively tuning your thoughts and actions, trying prevention and self-defense can help lower your chances of you becoming a casualty. Now, don't put yourself in a position to have to defend yourself. So what does that mean? Look, don't be walking in a dark alley at night, okay? Sometimes people shop late, you know, because they don't want to be messing around with COVID and things of that nature.
Right.
But the parking lot isn't well lit up and it's this and that and this and that. You know, don't put yourself out there. These people are out there looking for you.
Yeah.
So don't put yourself in that situation. So you always want to avoid dangerous situations. Okay. Period. All right. Now, we can talk about some things. All right. Now, I'm sorry, Zayla, did you want to weigh in? I asked Jamal. Did you have any thoughts or?
No, no, I'm listening up too.
Okay. So what do you say? You taking notes. Okay. Habitual security. Look, preventing crime from happening requires an active mind. Think about it. Daydreamers, sometimes you're thinking about something else, something happened at work, something in your personal relationship, so you're not paying attention. You got to understand that when you're out there, you do have to pay attention, all right? Your instincts, people don't realize how much their instincts, you know, sometimes when you get that little funny feeling and the hairs on the back of your neck rise up, something's not quite right, hey, pay attention to those signs. There might be something going on, quite frankly. You got to train yourself with your surroundings. I talk about that one, about the active and the active shooter program, and I talk about when you're at malls, you're at these different places, you're at a restaurant, always know where your exits are, where the restrooms are. In the event that something happens, then you can turn around and be able to quickly react to hopefully save yourself or your loved ones, you know, as well. Now, when we talk about the habitat, keep in mind you have to allow yourself, you know, into don't allow yourself to get into a lax frame of mind when it comes to your security. As an example, your home security systems, your security alarms. People sometimes don't use them. They pay for it every month. They've got an alarm system in place, and there's times when they don't actually put the alarms on. All right? And the other thing I want to tell you about your habitat with safety, hey, some people put these signs out front saying we're using ADT, okay, or we're using this or we're using that. Let me tell you something. The people that are the real criminals, they want to know what system you're using because they react to that system. So what you're doing is advertising it. So when I know why some of these systems want to advertise, because they want your neighbors to pick up on it, so your neighbors get it and all of that. But that's not doing you any service at all. So don't be advertising what alarm system that you're using, okay? You want them to be surprised, okay? It's just that simple, all right? So make sure that you're following the system that you have in place. So if you have to put it on at night or put it on when you leave, do what you're supposed to do, and don't be lackadaisical about it. And that's what we're talking about with your habitat. Now, I will tell you something else that people don't realize, that you also have an internal alarm. And it goes back, Jamal, to what I was saying a couple of minutes ago about the hairs on the back of your neck, you know, things like that. That's an internal alarm sometimes to say, wait a minute, something's not just right.
Right.
Something is out of place.
No, you know? Absolutely. I've had those experiences. And it's not scary. Like, it's very scary. That's what I meant to say.
Right.
You know, I've been in places where I just left, and then all of a sudden I heard something went bad not too long after I left, mm-hmm. You know, so we got to pay attention.
There's no doubt about it. You know, before I forget, next week, and I don't want to forget to talk about this, or to mention this, rather, before we go off the air. Next week, we're going to be talking about teenagers. So this is going to be a good one for parents to listen to, and maybe even teenagers, for teenage safety as well. All right, and I'll get back to that, but I don't want to forget that. Next week, we are going to be talking about teenagers and how teenagers can make themselves safe and the things that parents need to instill in their teenagers. They're going to be out and about, so to speak. Now, avoiding danger, as an example. You've got to fine-tune your personal alarm. Fine-tune that. The first thing is trust yourself. Many times, your eyes, your ears, your nose, they all give clues indicating that something is threatening ahead. Something is going on. Something doesn't look right. You got to pay attention to those instincts. And even if you're wrong, so what? It doesn't matter. You were wrong. It didn't happen. That's okay. But I would rather have you somewhat overreact to it as opposed to underreacting. All right? Some people have, you've heard of the expression sixth sense?
Yeah.
It's that sixth sense type of thing.
Right.
There's something going on. All right? Just trust in yourself when something doesn't seem like it's just right. Something is out of place. Even when you go home, if you see something, something's out of place. The second one, always be aware of your surroundings. No matter how safe you think a neighborhood might be, it's still not a good idea, as an example, to leave the front door open, valuables in your car, your purse on top of your office desk, you know, flaunting expensive jewelry around because you got this expensive ring, you got this necklace, and now you're out and about. You know, when we were younger in upstate New York, man, we left the keys in the car at night in the driveway. The doors were never locked, in all honesty.
Right.
You know, we came home, we just walked right into the house.
Right.
You know, you can't do that, you know, anymore, no matter where you are.
man, I'm not sure if you should have did it back then either, man. I've been out to that house, man. It's spooky at night out there, man.
Well, that's a four. That was a four-story house in the country. But, I mean, in the same token, you know, we were, well, okay, I don't want to get into that on the air, but I don't think anybody was going to be coming after us. Let's just put it that way. Between my dad and my three and my brothers and all of that, you know, I don't think that we had too much to worry about from that perspective. I'll just leave that like that. But what you don't want to do is provide temptations. That's the key. Okay? People, it's amazing to me sometimes the way people take their money at the bank and they're walking outside counting their money as they go outside, as opposed to putting their money away inside the bank.
Yeah, no,
same
absolutely.
Thing at the ATM.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, I was going to say something. You know, anybody, if you got to use the ATM at night, you know, if I'm not mistaken, like quite a few police stations have an ATM machine in there for people to be able to have access and use.
In the police station?
Yeah, in the police stations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can go inside the front door and use the ATM machine safely.
Well, you know, Jamal, with everything going on right now, there's people that would probably say, I'm not going in any police station. I might get shot. I might get this.
Okay,
I might get that.
Okay, or go into 7-Eleven, which I wouldn't recommend. You know what I mean?
Well, but just be. I'll tell you what we nicknamed at 7-Eleven, Jamal. We nicknamed 7-Elevens 9-Elevens.
You know what? It's funny. I used to do ATM machines, armored trucks.
Uh-huh.
We went to the 7-Eleven in the jungles. Man, you should see the crowbar marks on the side, whatever they had to use to pry it open, trying to pry it open, man. But, you know, there was one time, you know, I used to work, you know, the clubs late at night, and it was about 2:30 in the morning. I don't know why a friend of mine, he had to go use the ATM machine at night on Crenshaw. And so I said, let me get out the car, too, and be on a lookout, because this is not the best thing to do. And sure enough, I saw a car go by, and it stopped and put the car in reverse at the end of the driveway. So what I did was, I didn't have anything on me, but I put my hand under my shirt as if I might have been carrying something on me.
Mm-hmm.
They drove off.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had to fake it just for our safety because I didn't want to look, you know,
right.
anything to happen. So it was a deterrent. So sometimes you got to think fast.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know. Now, the Department of Justice came out with something interesting that says, pay attention to the people around you. See, we underestimate that sometimes. Yeah. This is listening again to your instincts and being aware of your surroundings. You can often, according to the department, you can often sense people's intentions just by the way they look at you. Heed the warning signs even when you are with people you know and trust. One study by the United States Department of Justice Statistics showed that 7 in 10 female rape or sexual assault victims stated the offender was an intimate, a relative, a friend, or an acquaintance. Mm-hmm. Now, that's, you know, and it's true. You find out these things. Sometimes with these murders, you know, I'll tell you right now, what's the first thing we look at sometimes? Who's closest to them?
Right.
You know, that's one of the things always.
I think most child molestation cases is a family member or somebody close, right?
You know what? There are some statistics out there regarding that as well. I mean, once in a while you hear about the guy that slips into a window, grabs these, you know, kids and things of that nature. So, you know, those things are out there as well. This other one, though, I think is pretty good. It talks about act confident and focused. Just as you can sense people's feelings, others can sense yours as well. Predators look for people who are meek, mild, weak, unfocused, and distracted. Criminals are always looking for easy pickings, and they're looking for someone that they can take by surprise and will not likely resist. Protect yourself in an assertive manner. When walking down the street, make eye contact with people who look at you. That signals the would-be offender that you are in charge and aware that they are there. Zell, I'm humming right along on this. You got any thoughts on any of this, or just keep going?
Well, no, and this is a great one, especially with today's age, with everybody's always has their head buried in their phone. I mean, people can run, grab the phone, and run. You never know what they look like because you were focused on the phone and not paying attention to your surroundings. So
that's true.
You know, it's really an important one. I think that's the key.
Well, who
key
was it?
People need to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, and wasn't the former senator, wasn't it Barbara Boxer or one of those? I mean, she's in her 70s or 80s, whatever it was, and somebody grabbed her cell phone. She was just walking down the street. you know, and they jumped out of a car and grabbed. But I don't understand, and maybe you guys can enlighten us. What is the big thing about stealing somebody's cell phone?
I don't know who does that. And I mean, you can track them down these days, so I don't know what's the big deal about stealing cell phones. Seems like everybody got one, so I don't know.
Well, not only that, but a lot of them are either visually, you know, you can't get into it unless it does a face recognition, or you have a code.
Right.
So I really don't understand. I mean, how much can that cell phone be worth if you're trying to resell it or something?
Maybe it was some kind of hacker that was trying to get hold of Barbara Boxer.
The phone costs thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's true. The thing.
Really?
You can sell the parts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Before we go on, too, that's the other thing. Gas stations. When you're at a gas station, get pumping your gas, lock your doors.
Right.
Because there's people who are sliding in and grabbing women's purses off that passenger door because they see the front door open, and so they know that the other door is unlocked because it's automatic locks, and they'll slide that door open quietly and take your purse and be gone. Before you know it.
Because sometimes people go back inside to do, maybe use the restroom.
You just turned at the pump. You're facing the pump, and they see your car door just open because you're just standing right there. You think everything is okay, but they're sliding that passenger side door open because you're facing the other way.
Mm.
So it's a tactic that was used. It was actually on the news at one point.
Really?
Yeah, that was going on.
Okay, well, that's another good one for us to pay attention to. I know they were even stealing gas, too. Did you hear about the guy turns around and puts the gas in his, because you know how to pump the island right there, right?
Yeah.
So what the other thing they were doing was, so let's say you put your thing into your gas tank and you put it on, click it on.
Yeah.
And now you walk inside because you're going to get yourself a drink. And when you're inside, the guy on the other side of the island takes the handle out of yours and continues to put some gas in their vehicle. Right. They see you coming, they put it back.
Let me tell you the story about my son real quick. Recently, so my son decided, he had, you know, college student, he decided to put $5 in the gas tank not too long ago.
$5.
And so he called me up complaining, talking about the needle didn't move. So he went inside and said, something's wrong with your pump. He said, I put the gas in it and the needle didn't move. And the dude said, how much did you put in there again? He said, $5. He said, my son said he looked at him and just kept on doing what he was doing. $5 is not going to get you nowhere these days.
Man, $5, 1 gallon, man, please. You know, that's 1 gallon of gas.
Right.
I got to tell you something. You're talking about these stores. When I was younger, just to give you an idea of the difference in the price, I was with this guy named Tommy, and he had a Karmann Ghia, which is the Volkswagen, okay?
Yeah,
And we pulled into a gas station, man, and he looked at the guy. Because back then, they pumped the gas for you.
Right.
New Jersey, they still do that. They have to, you can't pump your own gas in New Jersey, okay? But he pulled up to the guy. The guy comes, may I help you, sir? And he takes out 50 cents, Jamal, says, give me 50 cents worth of the cheapest crap that you have. But, Jamal, back at that time, the gallons were 35 cents a gallon, man. The gas was 35 cents a gallon, man. You know, that was only 20 years ago, so I should say. No, man. I'm just kidding. You know, it was longer ago than that.
$5 used to go a long way. Right, Z?
It did. During the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Oh, here we go, man. Here we go, man. That man can't do no wrong.
I'm sorry, man. No, that's not true.
I never said that.
I just had to throw that in there. During the Trump administration, it was $1.99 a gallon. What's the problem? You know, but it wasn't $1.99. I'm just talking. I just had to throw that in there. Understand alcohol and drugs, you guys. See, that's another thing people don't understand. Alcohol and drugs can cloud your judgment. And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about, that we're going to be talking about next week with teenagers as well. This business about drugs and alcohol, it can cloud your senses and slow down your reaction time, the danger. So people go to these clubs. Well, Jamal, you worked at a club. You know what I'm talking about. Some of these people drunk, you know, they drink in excess. They're drunk.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the expression rolling a drunk, okay, that comes back from a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because the person's got money, okay, their equilibrium is off, their judgment is clouded and the rest of this stuff, and they get robbed, or sometimes even worse than that, you know, as well. Now, when we start talking about how people can defend themselves, taking the steps to prevent crime can help lower chances of an attack. And again, there is no guarantee on complete safety, so I want to make sure, again, I'm throwing that disclaimer out there. It's good to always have an idea about plans on how to defend yourself and your property. That's the one thing people don't do. Families don't sit down and talk about those. We have, but people don't sit down all the time and talk about what's the plan.
Right.
Okay, if we're going into that, I talk about it in the active shooter class, you know, because I had people that I had trained that were actually at the Las Vegas shooting that survived and contacted me afterwards and say, hey, we followed exactly what you said. We already had a plan going in mind, and sure enough, something happened, and we were able to survive it and save some other lives. You can't do that enough. Plan in your house, you know, about safety for your house. If you're getting ready to go to some event or go someplace, then, you know, have the plan. That you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Talk to your kids. You know, I think we're in for some trouble with some of these things that's going to be coming up. I've already talked about the active shooter, you know, and they came out after as the pandemic lifted a little bit as well. So you got to do that. Now, sometimes the issue comes up whether or not, you know, we should flee or fight. Now, there's a debate about that. You're being attacked by somebody. Now, Jamal, you mentioned earlier that if somebody wanted your wallet, you give it to them.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it.
Right.
But, Jamal, one of the things I've talked about on the show before, and I haven't talked about it recently, is that carry two wallets.
Yep.
The older wallet, or, you know, one wallet, rather, have all of your old credit cards and things of that nature. These right. guys are not going to inspect that. They're going to grab whatever you hand them and take off.
Right.
And in that wallet, what do you have? No money, right. expired credit cards and things of that nature. So when they grab it, they know that they can feel a thickness, and they're going to think there's things in there.
Right.
You know, now women can't always do that because of the fact that they're going to grab the purse and run, okay? But it doesn't hurt to have some things in your pocket, you know, your valuables in your pocket versus in the purse. So when they grab the purse and run, right. they're not getting away with your ID and your credit cards and things of that nature. Some women pull out these little things that they keep all the little credit cards and their ID. They can just slip into their pocket. Go ahead, Jamal.
What is in those huge purses to begin with, man?
Okay, now see.
I don't understand that, man. Okay. Keep it to a minimum, but you know what I mean? But, you know, minimize what you're saying. You know, have get like one of those mail wallets that you can slide your credit cards in, your cash, keep that in your back pocket and not inside your purse. You know, those are the most valuable things. But I never understand the concept of those huge purses that they're walking around with.
Zeller, do we want to even respond to that? Or do you want to go there, Zeller?
I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
I'm not either.
Well, we have somebody here that can answer the question.
Yeah, right. Well, she's a behind the scenes person, so she's not going to jump up and offer. Now, if any of the listeners want to chime in, that's one thing. Or send us an email. Look, the thing about being safe, all right? Stay safe is not about paranoia, you guys. I just want to make sure we understand that, or about worrying that a dangerous person could come into your life at any moment. Don't be paranoid with this. We're not trying to get you to be paranoid. We're just trying to get you to think ahead with some of this, all right? And, you know, there's studies out there that suggest that when it comes to your children, as an example, pay attention to somebody's paying too much attention to your children. They're asking questions, they're doing things, because I'm telling you, even if they're close to you, you just never know. A lot of those abductions, people that are close, so be careful with
and
that.
And that includes teachers,
any of them.
Sports coaches.
Any of them.
All of the above, it's happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that I do want to get into this week is also the serial killer statistics. Look, guys, let me just tell you something real quick about serial killers, all right? Now, you know my book came out, and it was about a serial killer that I represented when I was in law school. And so this thing about serial killers, first of all, there's some things on the news right now about this lady that got killed in this park. Got stabbed like 11 times, and there's a similar situation. This was in Georgia. I believe it was in Georgia. And what they're saying is that they're wondering whether or not it's a serial killer. First of all, serial killers is normally two or more people, so it's not like a one-time situation. But they're trying to match this up. 11, you know, she was stabbed 11 times. Now, I'm just offering an opinion here because I don't know. I'm not part of the investigation. When I look at something like that where somebody got stabbed 11 times, with my background and research on these kind of areas, I look at that like that was something personal.
Okay.
You know, 11 times is rage, anger. Right. Something's going on. Okay. So we'll just wait and see how that ends up unfolding. But believe it or not, serial killer situations, only 1% of all the murders out there are by serial killers. So I want you to understand that. Matter of fact, I want to read the definition, okay, of a serial killer. Serial killer is defined as someone who has killed three or more people over an extended period, with cool down time between the murders. According to the FBI, serial murders have accounted for less than 1% of the total murders committed in a single year. Female serial killers comprise approximately 15% of American serial killers, and it's a statistic based on all known American serial killers. So those are the ones we know about. There are ones out there that we know nothing about because they're just unsolved murders. Female serial killers are more often classified as comfort killers, a type of serial killer who kills for material gain, than male serial killers. Approximately 76% of all documented serial killers in the 20th century were American. Now, I will tell you that women, and they call them comfort, okay, killers, because they're not the ones that go after you with guns and all of that kind of stuff. And I've talked about this on the show. Some of them, they use poisons and things of that nature, you know. So serial killer frequency by decade, just to give you an idea how the numbers have increased. In 1900, there were only 49 serial killers. Excuse me, 49. There was 49 deaths by serial killers. By 1980, that number went up to 768. Mm-hmm. Now the numbers have gone up, okay, and then they've gone down. So this just swing up and down, all right? So I want to give you some other information, too, real quick, because we only have a few minutes. Now, serial killers percentage by race. Let me just tell you, 1900, you know, this is something I went back, okay? 73% of the serial killers were white, 25% were black. Zero Hispanic, zero Asians. Native Americans, 2.1%. Now, just to give you, to bring that forward, the statistics now, 52% now are white, 40% are black, 7% Hispanic, Asians, 0.9%, Native Americans, 1.0%. See, a lot of times when people think about serial killers, they think about whites. And normally, they're in their 20s and their 30s as well. But there are blacks out there also, black people out there that have been serial killers, and that's come out later on, and we've seen it, you know.
Okay, I'm just kind of curious, like, the classification. Like, would you say, like, a gang member or even somebody, a member of the mafia, are they classified?
No, those are not serial killers.
Okay.
Those won't be serial killers.
Even though they killed more than three people?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. The serial killer, Jamal, it's like, okay, like in the book that I have, they look for certain things. Matter of fact, next week, I'm going to be talking about that, on how this guy, as an example, preyed on these young girls.
Right.
So the teenage thing that I'm going to be talking about next week, because they were all young kids, all right, and teenagers, except for one that he attacked in Nevada. She was 22 years old. Okay, mm-hmm. She was actually a college student that he caught at night. All right. Okay. But at any rate, now they're talking about the statistics by gender, is that now 88.6% the serial killers are male, 11% women. People keep overlooking women in terms of them being serial killers, but I've talked about this on the show a couple of years ago. It is amazing how many women were actually serial killers and how many people they killed.
Oh, yeah.
I had one that killed over 100 people. You know, people don't realize about some of this.
Well, you know, they say most wives live longer than their husbands.
Yeah, well, and that's cold, man. Jamal, you on a gender thing, man. I ain't going down that road, man. Like Zella said, I ain't going down that rabbit hole, man. You know, but broad motives, okay, for serial killers, they say, because remember I told you it's three or more, all right? So just to give you the broad motive, employment, 958, okay? Financial gain, 909, okay? This is only in the United States. Anger, 545. Multiple murders, 296. I'm just giving you the total counts here. Here's the categories. Employment, financial gain, anger, multiple motives. Jamal, here's what they're saying. Gang activity and criminal enterprise they have on this particular list. Avoiding arrest, cult, convenience, hallucinations, and attention. I'm not sure what the attention means. But because they don't get enough attention. I'm sorry.
Okay,
is where they come from that. But those different categories, so the highest category is enjoyment.
And
some of them actually get the enjoyment out of what they're doing. And some of it is sexual, but some of it is just, you know, they enjoy.
When you said employment, I started thinking about hitmen and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant enjoyment. I said employment. You know, we do everything with employment. So
right. No, I got you.
I kind of transitioned it over there from that standpoint. Next week, we're going to be talking about the serial killer IQ and some other information as well. So I'll follow up on that. And then also talking about safety for the children. Because I'm looking at the time here, so it looks like we're just about out of time. As usual, the time goes by so fast. Let me take a quick peek and see if anybody's made any comments on the other line. No, so we're pretty good to go in that standpoint. Okay, Zeller, anything that you want to add before we get off the air here?
No, it's always great information for, you know, just some of the basic tips. It's always good to rehear them, even if people already, you know, were aware of these tips. It's always a great time to have these annual reminders in regards to that, so people can be safe out there.
Absolutely. Jamal, anything before we sign off here?
As a wise man used to say, be vigilant and be a reluctant victim.
That's it. He's talking about me, guys. And I'll tell you something else. As closing, never make an assumption about somebody you don't know. And with that, we're going to close. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Until next week, signing off.